Also come to order. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake. Blake. Blevins.
Here.
Flickery.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart. Burkhart. Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly. Connolly. Davison.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Filer.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Hutchings.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz. Moniz. Nicholas. Nicholas.
Here.
Northrup.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Petrov.
Here.
Pieperinen.
Here.
Reeder.
Here.
Simlick.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Teeters.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Wallace.
Here.
Walters.
Here.
Watt.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Connolly. Connolly excused. Moniz.
Here.
59 present, 1 excused.
The prayer of the day will be offered by Pastor Ernest Fitzhugh, representing the Unity Missionary Baptist Church in Cheyenne.
Glad you're here for another day, amen. Good morning to you. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity once again to just say a prayer for these men and these women that's doing their duties. I ask, oh God, that you would bless them and keep them, that you strengthen them where they may be weak, build them up where they might be torn down, prop them up on every leaning side. And dear Jesus, help them do those things that benefits our communities, that will help those that can't help themselves. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity once again to come before them, knowing that you are my Savior, you are all of our Savior. We praise you for that. I ask that you bless their homes and their surroundings, bless their loved ones, their children, their wives, their husbands. Keep them all in your keeping care. And Father God, bless these United States of America. Bless our city. Bless our state. It's in Jesus' almighty and precious name I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Let that order business of Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 7, 2013 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representative Winters and Filer.
With that order of business of announcing the Doctor of the Day. The Doctor of the Day today is Robert Orovec, MD from Cheyenne. Welcome, Doctor. Representative Baker, privilege of the floor. Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Today is a special day for me. I have two individuals here. I'd like to thank our chief clerk and our majority whip for helping me arrange this. Today I have with me my little boy, who is 8 years old. He's going to be the page of the day. His name is Timothy Michael Baker. Welcome him. One quick comment with that. If he comes back without a bunch of candy in his pockets, then I'm going to have to feed him lunch. So fill him up. Let him have as much as he can handle. And then secondly, on the backpack there is Carrie Lynn Adams. She's my fiance, and she's also my campaign manager, and she's our nurse of the day. So welcome her, please.
Welcome to the House. Representative Filer.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please.
Thank you. Everybody, I'd like to introduce up here in the balcony is the Wyoming Truckers Association, and me being part of the Teamsters, as we all know, everything that we have here in Wyoming came by truck also. So I'd just like to welcome them to the House.
Representative Greer, then Representative Miller.
Representative Greer first?
Yes.
All right. Mr. Speaker, members of the House, in the South Stands, I'd just like to give a little recognition to one of my fellow, what are we, Washakiteites? Coming down here from Washakie County, Louis Fragel. Stand up, give us a wave.
Welcome to the House, Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please.
It's not often we get people down here from the county rated 10, and that's Fremont County. But I have some special people today. I have the daughter of a former senator. I know this is the House, but she was kind of the terror of the Capitol back when she was 10 years old, when her dad was in the early 60s. That would be Mary Ann Hutchinson, her husband Pat, their grandchildren, Ethan and Aleya, and their daughter-in-law Christy. So please welcome them to the People's House.
Welcome to the House. Anybody? Representative Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker, and I am standing up for the 62nd legislature. I only wish I had somebody here that loved me, but beside that, I'm good, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to make another announcement. You'll be getting a flyer in your box here shortly, but next Thursday, we have the Governor's Prayer Breakfast at 7 a.m. at one of our bigger hotels here in Cheyenne, and we haven't had a great participation from the legislative body from either side yet respond, and I know we've had a lot of other things on our agenda, so please give that some consideration, and also I would ask you to support our wonderful Senator's wife, Diana Enzi, which I think she's going to have a terrific message for us, and it will be on Valentine's morning, and I think it's a great way to start the day, so I just encourage you to participate. Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, you will notice that you don't have the order of the budget amendments in your boxes yet. We're waiting on one more budget amendment to be finalized, and then that will be distributed sometime probably during second reading, so be patient. They're typing as fast, they're copying as fast as they can. We're at that order of business of reading and signing of enrolled acts. The first enrolled act is House Enrolled Act Number 4, being original House Bill Number 4. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act Number 4, Again, original bill, House Bill number 4, an act relating to brands, revising how brands are recorded and re-recorded.
I'm about to sign in House Enrolled Act number 4, being original House Bill number 4. I have so signed. The next act is House Enrolled Act number 5, being original House Bill 38.
Enrolled Act number 5, original House Bill number 38, an act relating to water.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 5, being original House Bill 38. I have so signed. We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill, or no, we're not. We're at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 23, engrossed, Challenge Loan Program, Natural Gas Vehicle Infrastructure, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Greer, Kasperic, Larson, Lockhart, Readers, Somers, and Winters, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 4.
Senate File number 4, as presented by Senator Geis, an act relating to livestock.
Senate File 4 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 17.
Senate File 17, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to community juvenile services.
Senate File 17, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 26.
Senate File 26, from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to radioactive waste.
Senate File 26, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 27.
Senate File 27, introduced by Senator Bebout, an act relating to environmental quality.
Senate File 27, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 30.
Senate File 30, from the Revenue Committee, an act relating to special districts.
Senate File 30, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 33.
Senate File 33, from the Travel Committee, an act relating to search and rescue fees.
Senate File 33 has an amendment. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 1 to Senate File 33 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, all this does is removes the $2 fee, says it's a dollar or any whole dollar amount. That was a change I promised to bring yesterday, and still adds in snowmobiles and some other things. Very straightforward, simple amendment. With that, I'd stand for questions.
Representative Gingrey, or Chairman Gingrey, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I understand this correctly, and maybe I'm reading it wrong, you're taking the $2 out and putting it back to the $1. My concern there is the impetus of this was to try to encourage people to donate more than the dollar. And if you say the voluntary fee is a dollar, that's what people will pay. If you say the voluntary fee is $2, normally people will go, sure, I'll pay that. And here's why that's important to get that fund back up. Many counties throughout the state, those that are around the Bighorns and those that are around the western side of the state, with mountainous areas, and even in the areas that are not mountainous, you will have search and rescue operations. those search and rescue operations are expensive, and you have volunteers putting their lives on the line. Last year, our helicopter in my county crashed, and a very good man who was volunteering his time died. These are people putting their lives on the line to search for us and to rescue us from bad situations. It's a very expensive proposition of getting the right equipment. If we don't have the money, we won't be able to have the right equipment, and some of these search and rescues would have different outcomes. I think it's important to get the Search and Rescue Council's fund back up to an amount that is more in line with the needs of the counties. Because either A, the counties are going to pay for this, or the SAR Council through this fund will pay for it. If there's not enough money in the fund, the burden's going to go back on the counties. All we're saying to people is, hey, would you like to contribute $2? They don't have to contribute anything if they don't want to. It's a suggested donation. I think if you say two, most people will go with the two, and then we would have a good flush fund to pay for it. It's a wonderful way of paying for it rather than coming to the general fund and asking the general fund to pay for our search and rescue operations. Instead, the users are the one paying for it. I'd urge you to vote no on the amendment.
Representative Goggles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also urge you to vote no on the amendment. Search and rescue also includes the retrieval of the drowning victims. And I experienced that this last summer, my sister-in-law and my cousin both had children lost in Bull Lake, a lake up in where I'm from. And we had a search and rescue unit from the county where the water is sweet. They came in and brought their divers, and they brought their equipment. And the only way we found those two young people was with a submarine that they used. It was a small submarine, helped locate the body. So I would encourage you to support the search and rescue folks throughout the state of Wyoming. Because they do, like the previous speaker said, take their personal lives and they go out and do this and help us in this way. On and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For one exception, I agree with everything the other two speakers said. Search and rescue does need the extra money. They do a wonderful service. But let the people donate what they want. Personally, I usually donate a lot more than a dollar. I know a lot of people who do. If the money's so bad, why wasn't it made to be $5 rather than just $2? So I'd urge you to support the amendment. Let people give what they want. It's a donation. It's purely voluntary. And with that, I would ask for the question.
Voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 33, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 33 fails. Senate File 33 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 38.
Senate File 38, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to education.
There are two amendments. Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think there's actually three. If
there are, I only have two.
Oh, you're right. It's two. I'm sorry. Okay, I'll do second reading amendment number 1. And this is just we really don't have anything to do with the bill, but in the past, we've tried to stay away from legislative findings. A lot of you see these when we go and look at model legislation or when you look at legislation from other states. A lot of times what the first copy you'll get, the first 4 or 5 pages will be just full of legislative findings. In this body, we have tried to stay away from that, particularly because we don't really do legislative history in the courts in this state. So I hate to see us doing it with some bills and not doing it with others. So all it does, it takes out Section 4. Section 4 really has nothing to do with the bill other than it's a finding of why you're doing the bill. it's just more of a policy decision, whether or not we're going to have legislative findings in all our bills or we're not, and in the past we've just tried to stay away from them, and I'd urge you to vote aye.
Anyone else for your first time? Chairman Brown, or Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I think this is a bad idea, and I don't agree that we've always stayed away from findings. In fact, we've had long arguments on this floor, and we've left findings in bills, and the purpose of the findings we've left in bills has been to the courts, to give the courts some sense of the legislature's purpose in passing legislation. Now, this particular thing probably won't go to court, but it does explain the thinking behind the bill and why the change in the makeup of the Board of Trustees is being made. If it's nothing else to you, it's harmless language, and so I would urge you to reject this amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman Gingrey, we're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 38. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 38 has failed. We're now on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 38. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 2. Yesterday we had a discussion about how many members should be on this board. What the bill was proposing was to go from 12 to 13. I think once you get to 13 members on a board, it becomes an extremely cumbersome board. It's hard to make decisions when you got 13 people sitting around a table. And I don't know how most of you have sat on other boards. The smaller the board, in my mind, the more efficient your board is. So what this amendment does is just take it down to 9. So it doesn't affect what the sponsor was trying to do. You would still have the, if the constitutional amendment passes, you'd still have the 2 people from out of state. So that doesn't affect that. But what it would do is take it down to 9. And if you look in the statutes, actually what 7 of the people are appointed from the different appointment districts. So it's spaced around the state. And then presently, then there's another, 5 that are just at-large people. And that's how they get it. So the 7 would still be there that are done by appropriation, done by district. And then there'd be 2 more on top of that. So it'd be 9. And then the reason you had to go from 7 down to 5 was just the political party aspect, because if you're reducing it. And then what would happen is no one would lose their positions. Just as those terms would expire, then those wouldn't be replaced until you got to the 9. It just comes down to just a policy decision, whether or not you think 13 is a good number for a board or if 9 is a more manageable number.
Anybody else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I'd urge you to resist this amendment. I didn't hear any real good reason for reducing it from 13 to 9, except maybe small boards work better than big boards. It really takes a lot of the flexibility out of this as far as the governor's concerned, because if this amendment passes, 7 of the 9 are very rigidly prescribed from the appointment districts in the state, regardless of their academic achievement or their association with the university. They're going to have to come out of there, and that only leaves the governor 2 more people to put on there in an institution, as I've said before, with $1 billion in assets and 6,700 employees. I don't think that a board of 9 is any more efficient than a board of 13. It needs to have enough of a broad base to it to represent many different walks and many different disciplines in society. So I would ask you to vote against this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Senate File 38. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File number 38 has failed. Senate File 38 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File number 39, Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring you second reading amendment number one to Senate File 39, and in your box is a small photograph of a federal agent.
Representative Gay, I'm sorry, we need to read it first.
I'm sorry.
Got ahead of you.
Read bill.
Senate File 39, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to guardianship and conservators.
Yeah, sorry about that, Representative Gay. Sorry to interrupt you.
We
get moving too fast. We got lots of business today.
We've got
Representative Gay.
Keep up the momentum. In your box is a little picture of a federal agent coercing somebody. Senate File 39 is an adult guardianship jurisdiction act. The subject in the picture is clearly not an adult, but a child. But the message is the same. Under this Senate file that we have in front of us, a court of this state may treat a foreign country as if it were a state, and this amendment removes that language to remove foreign countries or other places from being treated the same as Wyoming. We don't want to see people being dragged out of Wyoming at gunpoint simply because they don't have a close relative. We have a system for caring for adults who don't have people to care for them. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I need to get the Speaker pro tem to come up here. Mr. Minority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, I certainly appreciate the concerns that the good sponsor of the amendment has, but I would submit that they have been addressed in this bill. If you look on pages 4 and 5 of your bill, under the International Application of the Act, it doesn't include all the articles. It only includes articles 2, 3, and 5. The excluded article, Article 4, is the article that allows for registration of orders and recognition of orders from foreign jurisdictions. So we have eliminated those very concerns that the good speaker talks about, that somehow some unacceptable order from a foreign jurisdiction would be implemented as a result of this act. In addition, there are, under Article 3, there's specific provisions that allow you to contest the registration and enforcement of orders. And so even if you could enforce a foreign order and it was, you know, it wasn't consistent with Wyoming law, you have the ability to contest it. So this is an important part because there are significant adult custody jurisdictional issues between, you know, maybe you go across the border to our north or to our south. This allows courts to deal with those situations just as they would with jurisdiction with another state. And so it does become very important. In fact, we had members in the other body down the hall that had personal experience with international jurisdictional questions on adult guardianship. So I would urge your defeat of the amendment.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. On and in favor of the amendment. This just makes me uncomfortable, and I hate to argue with the Majority Whip, but it just makes me uncomfortable to say, to give a court, a court's going to, with the word, I understand it says may, but with the word may in there, a court, I think, is going to have to listen to an argument about whether some proceeding that took place in some country, and the reference is always to the country across our border, and that may be fine, but what if it's a country across the ocean? And whether you go east or west, that starts to get pretty dicey. And at a minimum, a court would have to listen to an argument about whether the law of that country ought to be applied or not. I just think that if it's going to come from a jurisdiction like that, our court ought to hear it ab initio. In other words, from the beginning. Let our court hear all the determinations and make a decision based on the law of this country without any influence on the law of some foreign jurisdiction. So on and in favor of the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to have the sponsor elaborate a little bit more on the handout. From what I recall about this case, it was a rescue of a young man that was a kidnap victim. And Yeah, he was from a foreign country, but I'm not sure what the picture has to do with the bill.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time, Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I would just urge members of the body to not vote for the amendment just because of a feeling and a general discomfort, because we need to look at what the bill actually does. And what the bill actually does is it carves out specifically recognition of orders coming from foreign jurisdictions. Those are treated completely differently than the states. And that was done to address just these concerns. But if you strip this out, what you do strip out is the ability and all the tools that are provided in the bill for our courts to talk to courts from foreign jurisdictions, to communicate with courts of foreign jurisdictions, to do all those things that help families like we talked about on the first reading of the bill. And so, again, if you look at that carve out on line 3, page 5 of the bill, it takes care of these concerns, and I would say that any feeling of discomfort is misplaced given the actual language of the bill.
Anybody else for their second time? Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor, Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My recollection of events differs slightly from my good colleague two speakers ago. The story being that this child and his mother paddled an inner tube from the large communist country island south of the Sunshine State, and by the time they washed up on the shores of the Sunshine State, this child's mother was dead. A distant relative and uncle claimed that child, and of course it went into the court, the original country wanting the child back, and it went into the court, and the original country's laws prevailed, and he was taken at gunpoint and sent back to the large communist island country south of the Sunshine State, and at this present time he serves in the communist army of that country. I'd appreciate your aye vote on this amendment.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 39. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 39 has failed. Senate file 39 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 62.
Senate file 62, presented by Senator Coe, an act relating to the State Board of Education.
Senate file 62 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 67.
Senate file 67 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure.
Senate file 67 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 68.
Senate file 68 from the Revenue Committee, an act relating to taxation and revenue.
There is an amendment, Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Maybe I would move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 68 and ask for your favorable consideration, but there's, Mr. Speaker, the good sponsor of the bill pointed out that I need to make a technical correction or a motion to make a technical correction, if I could, to the amendment. Line 19 should read line 21.
We're correcting a typographical error. Line 19 is line 21 on the motion. Any objection to that technical correction? Correction is so ordered. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And you may remember during first reading we had some conversation about the ability to sort of pile up charges under the violation section of under Romanet 3 on page 4. What this does is it just eliminates because that can really be where you have the piling on, where you have maybe somebody has one of these devices and there's been 2,500 customers through the store while they've had this device on, and all of a sudden you're looking at 2,500 different charges under Section 3, which is not, I don't think, is probably within the intent of this body. And so by certainly to use it, you have to possess it. I think it's covered by the current language of the bill, and by eliminating that or use as a violation under Section 2, I think you get to where the bill really intends to be, which is, you know, if you possess it, yes, it's a violation, but not for every single customer that comes through. So I'd ask for your aye vote on the amendment.
Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I consider this a friendly amendment and would encourage your aye vote.
Any further discussion on second reading amendment number one? Hearing none, sensing you're ready to vote, we're voting on second reading amendment number one to Senate File 68. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one to Senate File number 68 has passed the House. Would the Rules Committee and Representative Pieperinen and Miller join me up at the desk? Thank you. brothers and sisters of the 62nd, sometimes our rules aren't as specific as they need to be. Rule 14.1M of our budget rules provides that, except as provided in Joint Rule 14.1M3, no amendment shall be considered on second or third reading unless a mirror of a budget bill in the first house, unless the amendment has been submitted to the legislative staff for preparation not later than 5 p.m. on the day of the legislative working day preceding the day of the reading. Representative Piperinen asked for a budget amendment to be submitted that mirrored Senator Meyer's amendment in the House. It turned out that Senator Meyer had two budget amendments in the House. The Rules Committee was asked to rule on whether or not both amendments could be run. The motion was made by the Rules Committee to allow Representative Piperinen to pick one or the other of the amendments he wants to run and be able to run one of those amendments and not two of those amendments. There's other facts in the story I'm omitting for the purpose of brevity. But the ruling is that Representative Piperinen can run one amendment and not two amendments. And so those amendments, Representative Piperinen will pick one or the other of them, and we will run them and debate them later today. And that's what the whole big discussion was up here. We're now on that order, back on that order of business of bills on second reading. Senate File 68 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 70. Representative Wilson.
Mr. Speaker, may I have privilege of the floor?
Certainly.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the 62nd Legislature, it's my privilege to introduce in the North Gallery the women from the Wyoming Federation of Republican Women who are here today for the Republican Women's Legislative Day.
Welcome to the House. Representative Blake.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker?
Certainly.
It's not often we have somebody come down from Sweetwater County, the largest county in Wyoming. And my constituent, her daughter is also an intern here. Her daughter's name is Erin Freeman, and I'd like you to welcome Becky Freeman from Green River. No relation to John Freeman.
Welcome to the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 76.
Senate File 76 from Senator Hicks, an act relating to game and fish, providing an appropriation.
Representative Zwanitzer, for your first of three amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number one to Senate File 76 and ask for favorable consideration. Quickly, members of the body, I couldn't find a creative way to put all three of my amendments on the same page and then get them through a division, and so my apologies in advance to be bringing three. But they're all kind of, they're interrelated, but they're all separate from one another. So the first amendment, what this does is just take out the word removal. So that says if we are taking out this bighorn sheep herd, we do have to relocate them. We can't have an open hunting season and have people come wipe out all 40 of them. If this one goes down, I'll probably bring a nice amendment on third reading to have a raffle to, you know, take out all 40 of these and try to make some money off of it at least. But since we did spend a lot of time, effort, and money 30 years ago, and a lot of time, effort, and money to keep this herd thriving at the 40 that are up there now, I didn't think it was appropriate to have the word removal allowing for their destruction. Depending on if there's nowhere to move them to, I don't want the option from a lot of people's effort and work to just be able to gun them down, basically. And I'd be happy to take any questions on that amendment.
Representative Paxton.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think we really have any problem with that. I think the intent from the beginning was to relocate, and there is another viable herd within about 20 miles of where this herd exists, and I would imagine that they probably would be relocated to that area, which would just provide genetic diversity to the other herd.
Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I as well am okay with this amendment.
We're voting on second Representative Zwanitzer, do you like anybody for their second time? Voting on second reading amendment number one to Senate File 76. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one to Senate File 76 has passed. We're now on second reading amendment number two to Senate File 76. Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number two to Senate File 76 and ask for its favorable consideration. What this does is just remand that they be moved to somewhere else in the state of Wyoming. They are Wyoming's wildlife. We did import them from another state back about 30 years ago, but I hope they've assimilated to our culture and our lifestyle, and I'd like to keep them somewhere in our state instead of kicking them back out. So be happy to answer any questions on this one.
Representative Freeman.
I understand that once you're a Wyomingite, you always want to remain here, but one of the questions that I have, this might be too restrictive because I know that, or I think I know, that other states reciprocate sheep to where that they can provide genetic differentiation, and this would prohibit that to happen, and I don't know if that's what we want to or not.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I am sensing some mischief with this following the First Amendment. We want a viable work product when we're done. I guess vote your conscience, but I just don't know how much we're going to mess with this.
Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm opposed to this. I think we'd ought to leave the relocation of the sheep to the professionals. As the previous two speakers mentioned, we do interact with other states on these, and I would suggest you vote no on this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You'll probably see a third reading delete the enacting clause in this bill from me, so I make no contention that I'm totally against this bill, but if something the body may actually pass it, I would like some stipulations and some protections, and I do think this is Wyoming's wildlife. We have spent countless hours and staff time on them, and we do have reciprocity in other states, and we have imported sheep from other states in the past, but if there's any way to keep these 40 sheep somewhere in Wyoming, I just think it would be a travesty if we lost them to another state. I suppose we could go visit on the weekends, but it would be nice to keep them here.
We're voting on second reading amendment number two to Senate File 76. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number two to Senate File 76 has failed. We're now on second reading amendment number three to Senate File 76. Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move second reading amendment number three to Senate File 76, and I'll ask for favorable consideration of this one. What this says is you have to have a 50% impact of the grazing allotments in the Sierra Madre to initiate this action. The way I read the bill says if you have any action, if you suspend the grazing permit for 1 year on one allotment, that could trigger this. And I don't think that's the intention of the bill. I wasn't sure what the magic number was, so I put 50%. We heard a lot of testimony that what the forest to the west of us and the state to the west of us did is completely remove sheep grazing on these allotments. And so if that happens, certainly we can play this game where nobody gets any sheep on the mountain, I suppose. But if they did try to come to some compromise or some agreement that some allotments may have to be shut down or suspended for a year or certain times of the year. This just allows some flexibility if the Forest Service were to make this decision and try to come up with some type of compromise in the best interest of everyone. I think we've worked very diligently the last 12 years with this working group to make sure we haven't had any disease interactions or problems between these two herds. And so it would just, I guess, allow for a little bit of latitude if the Forest Service operates in good faith and tries to continue with what Wyoming has done in our working plan to make this a workable solution and to continue to make it work, that we're not going to arbitrarily say, oh, you did one little thing and we're going to take all the bighorn sheep out of here. So if anybody has concerns on the 50%, you know, I can raise that or lower that. I just thought this was a pretty good number of the intent of the bill that says if they eliminated grazing altogether, sure, we'll take out the sheep. But if they do something that tries to be a compromise with one allotment, that we shouldn't have to instigate this action. Happy to stand for questions on this one.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know where we're going, but
You know, if there's not a time to compromise on someone making a living, and what's in the, and I just think we really need to be careful. I think this bill's a good thing. It does its purpose to help, that we'll be able to keep someone's livelihood going, and I think we need to think about that.
Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge you to oppose this amendment as well. I'm not sure the bringer of the bill understands what a 50% decrease in grazing would do to the people that are using this grazing. The bill's pretty, I think, is good the way it is, and I really would encourage you to vote against this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 50% may be too high. I like to think I understand grazing allotments, but perhaps sometimes I don't. And so if there's a compromise that says 10%, from the testimony that I keep hearing on this bill in both bodies, not that I should reference the other, is that we have some anticipation that they're going to take out domestic sheep grazing altogether. And so that's been the focus of the conversation that I've heard. And so I really, this is a good faith attempt. I'm not trying to do anything crazy on this or put a poison pill in it. I expect this bill to probably pass this body, and I'd like the basic kind of protection that one small action that's operating good faith won't trigger a massive event that this bill calls for. And so it's perhaps if this fails, I can work on a better worded amendment, or if this bill passes, we can work on a better worded number of allotments or percentage. But I really do think this is important that we don't have, I've explained it enough, I think.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 76. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 76 has failed. We're now on second reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 76. Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 4, and mine was more just grammar. We talked yesterday, the good bringer of the bill stated his intent, and I'm not sure if his intent is clearly encapsulated in the sentence. So the sentence we're dealing with is, it says on page 1, line 12, this appropriation shall only be expended for the purpose of removing or relocating bighorn sheep from the Sierra Madre mountain range of the Medicine Bow National Forest. And this is the important part. It says, as a result of any final federal judicial or agency action. And so all I did was take out as a, and I put in if a. So if there's a result. I wasn't sure if it was clear using the word as. And the sponsor said that was what his intent was. And then I put in, yesterday on standing committee amendment, we put in the word final. And just to clarify that, I stuck in including all appeals. So it was clear that what they meant by the word final was that once all the appeals had ran too. So that was my grammar cleanup.
Representative Moniz.
Mr. Speaker, I'm fine with this. I think it clears up what the intent is, and I'd urge you to vote aye for this.
Anyone else want to speak on the amendment? Voting on second reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 76. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 76 carries. Senate File 76, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 82.
Senate File 82, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to game bird farms.
Senate File 82 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 98.
Senate File 98, introduced by Senator Perkins, an act relating to trade practices.
Senate File 98 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 105.
Senate File 105 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to school facilities projects.
Senate File 105 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 124.
Senate File 124 from Senator Perkins, an act relating to liens.
Senate File 124, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 1.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, introduced by Senator Ross, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to remove the requirement that a person be a resident of the state of Wyoming to serve as a trustee of the University of Wyoming.
Senate Joint Resolution 1, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are now on that order of business of third reading on the budget bill. House Bill 1, having been read three separate times. We've got a million amendments before we do that. We're on that order of business of consideration of the budget bill. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill Number 1 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to supplemental appropriations for the operation of state government, being enacted by the state of Wyoming.
The first amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 9 to House Bill 1. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move third amendment number 9. Ladies and gentlemen, this bill modifies the Second Amendment 29A. If you recall what that did, that was a bill that added $500,000 for the evaluation of the Wyoming Highway Department. This reduces that amount to $300,000. So it's trying to save $200,000. But it does, more importantly, it adds specific language so that the study that takes place moves over to the governor's office, and then the governor's office has to go to the Joint Appropriations Committee to help define and control what the study is going to do. And the point of that language is to make sure that this study goes to the cost efficiencies of the Wyoming Department of Transportation, and so that we can have our say-so, if you will, to make sure the study and the cost efficiencies are unbiased and directed towards what the overall intent of the bill was. So I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Discussion on third reading amendment 9 to House Bill 1. Do I hear the question? Question being called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 9 to House Bill 1 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 9 to House Bill 1 is passed. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 10 to House Bill 1. Chairman's warrant, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I move third reading amendment number 10 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. What this does is actually deletes the amendment that we just heard, plus the original amendment that was
sent. Chairman's warrant, sir, may I interrupt you?
You may.
I'm sorry. Just hold that thought for a minute, would you please? The previous amendment, third reading amendment number 9 to House Bill 1, is a direct increase in the general fund. Therefore, under rule, I think it's 11-1, it requires a roll call vote. The clerk will call the roll. We're on the previous amendment now. Third reading amendment number 9.
Baker.
Can I call a point of order once a roll call starts? I don't think so. But according to the rules, I can't. Anyway, I think it's a decrease only, Mr. Chair. I don't think it's an increase. But correct me if I'm wrong.
Representatives want either an increase or decrease. Either one requires a roll call vote under the rule. The clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Flake.
Aye.
Levins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Berg.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman. Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay. Excused. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlek.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson. Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
no.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Hutchings, no to aye. Davison, no to aye. Eklund, no to aye. Are there any other changes? Watt, no to aye. Are there further changes? Patton, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 52 ayes, 7 no, 1 excused.
Third reading amendment number 9 to House Bill 1 has passed the House. We are now on third reading amendment number 10 to House Bill 1. Chairman Zwanzer would be pleased to hear your presentation in its entirety.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I move third reading amendment number 10 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. What this does is delete the amendment we just voted on plus the original amendment that was asking to have a efficiency study done on that department. And let me tell you why I'm against this. In 2008, LSO asked for a program review of the general fund appropriations for the highways, including an assessment of the entire design through final payment process of YDOT highway projects. And then in 2010, the department updated the responses to the management audit committee in a follow-up study. So, in 2012, the management audit committee scoped YDOT out of a pending audit involving off-budget agencies. Because of the 2000 audit and because of all the presentations and the transparency that this department has had through the years. In 2012, not too long ago, they signed a contract with a private consultant firm to conduct a two-year study of their design process and efficiencies. That study is in progress right now, folks. It's funded by federal funds, and they're spending $936,000 on that, ongoing as we speak. Also, 2 months ago, December of 2012, YDOT presented results of a five-consultant, five-project value engineering design to the executive branch here. And basically, the return on investment of that study was lower than the national norm, and indicating that the project, you know, very high designs. We've also passed a bill just not long ago that asked for the legislature to go and have a review process of both this department and the GNF department to be conducted and then sent to the Appropriations Committee, along with the, for YDOT's case, to the Transportation Committee also. So we have a review process going in, and obviously if they find a problem, then we need to maybe look at some efficiencies. But this amendment did not come from the Management Audit Committee. And so I suppose otherwise, just so you know, that YDOT and other agencies are part of the director's appointment commitment to the governor to require submit updates on efficiency initiatives all the time. So I would suggest to you that these efficiency studies are in progress. They are being done. We're spending a lot of money on them. They are not against if we decide to do another one on top of the one that's being done, but we would like to hope that they've put their attention on to doing other things. And a little footnote here. This department is nationally recognized for being among the fastest states to get dollars through the highway contracts. When we were looking at that era, the ARR dollars, and so they came out number one for their efficiency of being able to get those dollars out into where they were intended to be. So anything else I can tell you is that they've had 28 states come to us asking to look at how we do things because we do things so well. We've had a lot of inquiries from other countries that have come to this state to say, We want to know how you're doing what you're doing because you're doing it so well. So for that reason, I would ask for an aye vote.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to reiterate what the Chairman of Transportation is saying. There's no question that this department has been studied for efficiency probably 10 times more than any other department in the last, let's say, 7 or 8 years. If we've got this much money to study efficiency in a department, I would say that we pick some department that's never been studied for efficiency before, and we would be much better off as far as the use of our funds to just go back and look at all the findings that are uniformly positive with this department and call it a day. It's just I don't know how this came up or why it came up, but it just doesn't seem like there's any foundation for the validity of it.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. One of the problems is that the Wyoming Highway Department is consistently asking for anywhere between $100 to $130 million per year over and above what we're paying them now. And the fuel tax is going to provide maybe half of that. So the real question is, and trust me, all the studies that you've seen are in the control and the confines of the Highway Department, meaning that they can be, or they may be, self-fulfilling prophecies. We're not saying it's not a well-run entity. What we're saying is, let's have someone absolutely independent from the Wyoming Highway Department with directives that we provide to them to work out and study cost efficiencies to actually determine exactly where that extra $100 million per year that they demand, where it needs to go, where it should go, whether or not their criteria on the breakdown of the lifetime of every highway is accurate. I mean, there's lots of things that we need to know that we need to study, not listening to all the studies that are retained by the Wyoming Highway Department. Thank you.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. My understanding is that the audit that's been ongoing is independent. I think we're just wasting money by re-auditing something that's in the process of being audited by a nationally recognized firm that specializes in auditing transportation departments. It doesn't make sense to do another audit. Thank you.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Been looking at this, and brand new to the Transportation Committee, and some of the concerns that we've had, and I think we discussed this in another one, but another discussion we've had of the local shops and the amount of employees, money that they have. And then we go to the region shops, and then we go to the headquarters, and we find some duplications that exist. And one of the previous speakers just said, well, if we're so efficient, why are we continuing to ask for, you know, 100 million? I mean, that's not 100,000, that's 100 million. And some of the, as I've checked into this, some of the concerns that we have are the projects that they're doing. And so somebody's doing some auditing of these folks and saying, yeah, their projects are done well. But I guess the bigger project or the bigger question is, what are the projects that are being done? We could talk about some major highway constructions over the passes between, you know, by the Tetons, and the amount of money and, you know, the worry that we're coming up with the potential highway construction in the Wind Rivers. I just think there's all of the studies that have been done are not answering the questions. And when this bill was first brought, I consulted with quite a few people to bring this bill. And I think we've refined it. We've asked for less money. We're taking it out of the right place. And I think this will answer some of the questions that we're having that the previous audits, whatever, have not answered. So I stand way in favor of this to audit a $1.1 billion biennial budget to see if the roads that are being done are the ones that should be, the projects that are being done. I could name some that I asked one of our region supervisors, why in the world are we spending millions of dollars building this that's not a road? And they said, well, it'll help. I said, well, if we'd gotten along without this expenditure and you're really hurting for the money, let's spend it on roads. And I didn't get any satisfaction. So I bring you this, and in total support of what is trying to be done here. I think we've got a lot of support from other folks. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Madden.
Yes, so just a clarification. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The last speaker was talking about that we need this efficiency study done to determine whether the projects are being selected right. And I don't envision an efficiency study of as going in and saying, well, you're picking the wrong projects to do. Otherwise, I've misinterpreted what these, either one of these bills that are being, or amendments that are being deleted are intended to do. Is it really to decide whether to decide which projects are going to be built?
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. We do have a transportation commission that oversees which projects that we build. They have public input, and that's how it gets determined which projects gets up on the list next. It takes a ton of money to build roads. When I came into the legislature just not so long ago, it was like $1 million a mile. Since I've been here, it's now up to $3 million a mile. I would suggest to you that takes a lot of money. 85% is federally funded. Only 15%, round numbers, state funded. And let me remind you that the federal government is doing an extensive study on their efficiencies and how they handle their business on a day-to-day basis. $936,000. That will be coming back to us. The Management Audit Committee will look at it. Appropriations will look at it. The respective committees will look at it. If there is a problem, I think at that point and that time, then we say we need to do another study above and beyond. They do have, on a yearly basis, by a very independent, of course you can't name names on the floor, external firm that looks at all of their financial statements and their compliances and efficiencies. So please keep that in mind. With that, I would ask for an aye vote, and an aye vote takes away doing the study, and a no vote would allow the study to continue, just so there's no confusion, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Thank you.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 10 to House Bill 1. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Chairs in doubt, all in favor, please stand. Under Rule 11.1, this is a reduction of a fixed dollar amount in the budget and requires a roll call vote. The clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger. Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman. Connolly,
aye.
Davison,
no.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay excused, Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Green,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Hutchins.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparik.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
No.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Semlick.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 25 aye, 34 no, 1 excused.
Third reading, amendment number 10 to House Bill 1 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 13. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I move third reading amendment number 13 to House Bill 1. Ask for your favorite consideration. Basically, this amendment simply adds our other off-budget agency into the mix. So if we're looking at efficiencies in one of our major agencies, this goes over to Game and Fish and just requests that we also look at their agency. So for all the arguments you've heard before.
Anyone for the first time? Representative Davison. Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just propose that we are going to probably do an interim study on this agency, and so I would think that we don't need this. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I seem to remember for the last year we did an interim study on this agency and did an interim study on the other agency. So if we're going to study the other agency again, let's just study them both for another year.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Davison. Wait a minute, Chairman Davison. Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just remind this body that this agency did not get any increase this year. Thank you.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Yeah, I am the sponsor. Chairman Zwanitzer, Dave, just because we've had two Zwanitzers, I don't want anybody in audio land to be confused. But yes, let's throw away conserving the budget and let's do some more studies. And so I'm in favor of this.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 13 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 13 to House Bill 1 has failed. The next reading for our consideration is third reading amendment number 31. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, you should have a corrected copy of... I'll move third reading amendment 31 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. On second reading, we appropriated $500,000 to look at the expanded foreign markets and take an opportunity of enhancing Wyoming businesses and Wyoming assets. And what I'd like to propose to you here is that we had put this project in the Wyoming Business Council's General Operating Fund component, and I'd like to move it over to the governor's office for his oversight because truly it impacts his activities in promoting Wyoming and working with foreign companies. I just truly believe that this is a time in Wyoming's history that we can make a difference in promoting our goods and enhancing the lifestyles of Wyoming citizens when it asks for your favorable consideration. So it doesn't increase or decrease, it just moves it to a different oversight.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Ms. Majority Floor Leader. I appreciate the sponsor of this amendment because it really, I think, fixed issues with the first run of this, where, first of all, we move it from the business council to the governor's. And this really recreates what used to be in the governor's office, where we had foreign trade offices, and we had a pretty robust effort. And that went away at some time during the last rainy season. And the other piece that stuck in my craw two days ago was this piece about travel. And I wanted to be very explicit that this wasn't just a half a million for folks in this body or any other down the hall to fly somewhere to the Far East. And so I was insistent that this language in the last sentence be put in there. So that kind of satisfied my concerns with it. Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Leader, on and in favor of this proposal. And I'd like to just speak to a couple of things. We did try an effort to reach to China in the recent past, and if you people think that's a boondoggle, think about 3 days in a row listening to translators on technical issues from Chinese to English, and translators who are not normally in the technical field trying to put that out. It is hard work, it's intense, and it's not a boondoggle and a travel budget. That said, I think our opportunities for products from the state of Wyoming are international. They have been and they will continue to be, and that's a bigger market than we've been exposed to, and we made a mistake when we backed off of that effort a few years ago. I'd urge your support of this budget amendment.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. If you'll recall, when this came through on the second reading amendment, I got upset. I really liked the idea. I didn't like the structure. Well, the structure's been corrected, and I still very much like the idea. I just want to make it clear that I like this concept and encourage you to vote in favor of this amendment.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the amendment, just a reminder, a few years ago, the largest taxpayer in Wyoming was a foreign company. I'm not for sure that's true anymore with the decline in natural gas prices. The natural gas prices in the markets we want to reach are 200% and 300% and 400% higher than they are here in Wyoming. That's the purpose of this amendment and the amendment we had the other day. So I ask for your favorable vote.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Question being called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 31 to House Bill 1, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 31 to House Bill 1 is passed, a voice vote. It's a close call, but there is a decrease mandated by part of this amendment and an increase mandated by another, and so I'm going to consider that to fall under Rule 11-3, requiring a roll call vote. The clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Lickry.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Esquibel.
Aye. Esquibel.
Aye.
Filer. Filer.
No.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay excused. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux. Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 3 no, 1 excused.
Third reading amendment number 31 to House Bill 1 has passed the House. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 7. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I withdraw third reading amendment number 7.
Third reading amendment number 7 has been withdrawn. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 14 to House Bill 1. Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Or Ms. Majority Floor Leader, move third reading amendment number 1, or number 14 to House Bill 1. Ask for your favorable consideration. Members, this is with Section 2, Secretary of State. And you remember in our second reading, we restored the cut. It was an attorney position. And we voted to restore that cut, and we had a pretty vigorous debate. So I brought this back for your consideration. There's 30 employees in that department, and I think there was concern in this body that this was one of two statewide. The other, I think, is a part-time male clerk in A&I that would actually be a reduction if there were not transfers within state government. So an actual cut where a person is currently in. And so I restated this, that if and when an opening occurs in this agency of those 30 employees, that it wouldn't automatically be filled. But what happens if the Deputy Secretary of State retires? I mean, we're going to have to fill that position. It's very important. Well, this gives this agency flex then to go ahead and fill that, but the bottom line is the net will go down one. And so it gives the manager, who is an elected official of that department, the ability to make those decisions and do that. And I guess the last thing in our debate, and I'll just tell you, and as we go out as a body and work maybe on the next round of budget cuts, if that's what we decide today in the interim, there's always this thing, and it was kind of referenced in our debate 2 days ago about what I call the Washington Monument cuts. And you remember back in the 90s when government shutdowns occurred, they closed all the monuments. And, of course, all the tourists were there. And then all the news cameras from around the world showed American government is shutting down. They've closed the Washington Monument. So, in effect, it's like, okay, we'll cut the Washington Monument, knowing that it can't be cut. There'll be an outcry for it. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened here at all. I'm not. And I think that was kind of referenced, and I want to backpedal on that. But I want you to really think about this as we go through, really, all of us as appropriators, and look at the next round of budget cuts and be thoughtful. I mean, you as standing committees know these departments better than anybody as you dig into that and really try to decide how you can make, you know, really our goal is to cut the fat out of government and keep the services intact. And so I bring this for your consideration. Thank you.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I would urge you to vote no on this amendment. I think that when they identified a position in the first place, then don't you think that kind of paints a target on if someone else leaves the office, they've already identified a position that although they didn't feel like they could do without, it just seems to me that it should be up to the Secretary of State to pick his own places, not for us to choose. And then even with him rearranging, since that position's already been identified, what's to stop them from going out and job hunting, knowing that if anybody goes, they're going to be the one targeted? And I would submit to you that the position that has been targeted is an attorney position. Do we really want this department to be without the ability to rely on the already busy Attorney General's office to prosecute and to identify and to deal with all of the business entities, all of the election, everything that they do? Do we really want them to be without that position? So I would urge you to vote no on this, and let's keep this intact. We're going to be back for a budget session in another year. We can work this out, but I don't think that it's necessary to do this at this time.
Mr. Minority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Leader. This particular amendment has to deal with a person who is kind of on the road to retirement, but still, let's look at it in this respect. They're an integral part of an agency that just about everything is statutorily required inside this agency. The amendment before you is a little bit better than the first version, so I guess if you have to, this would be a way to go, but I would recommend a no vote because you guys are down here for 40 days, give or take a few more, and this is your snapshot on government, and you're trying to micromanage a group of people downstairs that I think if you had a longer tour and understand exactly the depth and the breadth of what they do down there, you'd understand that there's really no fat on this bone at all. So I guess vote your conscience, but I'd prefer to see a no vote.
Representative Gurr.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, folks, if we're really serious about reducing the size of ongoing government, we need to vote for this amendment. We've seen all the charts of projections going out. We were asked for a cut to ongoing government. What I saw was the first time up where this really affected one person, we all flinched. This amendment allows us to still do that. All it's looking to do is when someone retires, we're going to go ahead and reduce that position, reduce the size of government. Keep in mind, we're looking at cuts going down the road. And it's incremental as we go. If we do not make this reduction now or get this in this supplemental budget, that just means that line's going to be a little bit fatter the next time when we try to make those cuts. I encourage you, if you're serious about getting a handle on the size of our government, vote for this amendment.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Leader. On and in favor of this amendment, I voted no for that bill earlier, or that amendment earlier. I think this is a good pattern to work with our agencies as we look forward, is to have them have the flexibility and be considering that as they go forward. So I would urge your support of this, and it doesn't force the thing that was kind of touchy to people yesterday, and it would be the same sort of thing that we'd be needing to do as we look at size of government and ways of reducing it, leaving that in the hands of the managers and the supervisors in these different organizations. So I urge your support of the amendment.
Representative Swanitzer the Younger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd urge your defeat of the amendment. And it just seems a very arbitrary way we're going about this that says we have to get rid of one position somewhere in the agency. And I'd ask you all to think about the agency that works for us. We have, I think, the same number within one person of the staff for the agency that provides all the services you see before us and works for us for all year. So I'd ask you to think about which one person in LSO that we would cut. Next one that retires, how we'd move the structure around and which services we would lose, and if that would be a public detriment or detriment to the members of this body. And so that's what we're talking about here. This isn't a 400-person agency that, you know, everybody can take on another 5%. This is an agency that we have six bills out right now that affect this agency that all have an administrative impact, and we have not done appropriations. You've seen me bring campaign finance bills. You've seen other people on this floor have campaign finance bills. I talked before about administrative impact. We're throwing another $200,000 to $300,000 on this agency and their administrative impacts. I went back and counted here, and now we're going to take a position from them. And so I just ask you to think, if it was LSO and we had to lose one of our staff members, which one would you all pick? Please vote no.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor, Chairman Harvey?
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. You know, another thing that I would remind the body is that the positions that are in this agency actually serve us as well. They serve the whole state. They oversee all of business. But here's my point. How many things have we put on this agency since? We told them, okay, go ahead and cut your budget, but, oh, please, let's print the directory and let's print the Constitution and let's, you know, we don't want to cut those part of it and yet that part of their budget. And yet what we're doing is asking them to cut personnel that do the very vital things that we need as a state. We do want someone monitoring all of the things that that office monitors. I would urge you to vote no on this amendment.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Just a couple comments. I think we understand the issue, but it was brought out by the good representative from Laramie County. Who would we pick in LSO? Roughly 30 employees in LSO. That's the point of this amendment. We would not pick. It's after they retire or leave LSO or wherever, and then the director would say, well, let's think. This is the chief of the fiscal division. We probably need to replace that, so we will maybe take a research person or a part-time or somewhere that maybe has only been on the job a month and change that job. Maybe two leave at the same time and you don't even have to make a personnel choice. I mean, so this is a total flexibility on this, so we wouldn't have to choose. Okay? The second piece is, when will this happen? Might not happen for 5 years. Might not happen for 10 years. And then if it did happen, it's not automatically filled. This is when a vacancy occurs. If and when it occurs, we're saying, okay, you have the ability, the second sentence on line 80 of the amendment, the Secretary of State and the Department of A&I can reclassify. So my example was, you all know who the deputy is. We've spoken, we've all run for election. We probably had conversations with her. She presents all her bills. Totally vital. That office is vital to the operation of this agency. If she retires, are we going to replace her? You bet. But the bottom line is the net is going to have to come somewhere within the agency. And so it gives them the ultimate flexibility. We're not choosing. It's self-selected. So urge your support of the amendment. And then I guess the last thing, then you always are back within 8-9 months after we leave to present your budget again to the JEC. So thank you, Mr. Majority Floor.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 14 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 14 to House Bill 1 has failed. Division being called. All in favor stand. Like I said, third reading amendment number 14 to House Bill 1 has passed the House. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 22 to House Bill 1, Representative Pieperinen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I may have a small personal privilege.
Please proceed.
I've watched many times as Rules Committee have gathered around the Speaker's office or around this podium and always wondered what went on. And having been a part of that this morning, I want you to know that I was very impressed with the procedures, protocols, and the way that I was treated in that circle. Because of circumstances beyond my control, I take full responsibility of not getting the other amendments in, and I applaud those people who listened and voted and rendered a decision, and I support that decision. Thank you.
Please proceed on, thank you, Representative Pieperinen. Please proceed on, we're considering amendment number 22, third reading amendment number 22 to House Bill 1.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, this is the first time I've been up here at this front podium because I'm very uncomfortable being in front of groups unless they're 24th graders or something. Well, there's a big difference there. But I wanted to be here to be able to look you in your face, to look at your eyes, and share the things that are on my mind. I stand and speak on and for this amendment, whose identical twin, perhaps fraternal twin now, is also being presented in the Senate today. Brothers and sisters of this legislature, it is time to heal. It is past time time to come together with a chorus of no less than 31 voices, we can end the pattern of what is sure to become a biennial bickering. Your voice and mine can become the much needed arbiters of the jostling factions that have been involved in this issue. We, you and I, can end the culture of criticism and continued uncertainty that has overshadowed this legislative session and apply and practice the healer's art. Is there no balm in this capital city? Are there no peacemakers here? Why then has not a political peace in this town been restored? We now have before us a budgetary amendment that seeks to bring about just that. The people of Wyoming are watching and waiting. Waiting to see what we, as representative individuals in a collective voice, have to say regarding it. The state superintendent's constitutional and statutory responsibilities, now honed and refined, are nevertheless broad in their scope and enormous in their significance. The influence of that office is obligated to go forth among all the four corners of this state and all places in between. Training, preparing, and inspiring educators to make a positive difference in the lives of tens of thousands of Wyoming children and young people. The amendment before you, drafted by the superintendent's office, is, in my opinion, and in my words, an olive leaf, most genuinely extended. I'd especially draw your attention to footnote 7 on page 3, which negates the use of direct stipends for teaching participation by the state superintendent of public instruction. It is this legislature's choice, collectively and individually, from leadership to the least member of this body, most assuredly me, whether to extend our hands, yea, even our votes, in an act of reconciliation and resolve to finally close this chapter in Wyoming history and begin a new one. The budgetary amendment before you is a mere skeleton from the one that had to be hastily prepared under unreasonable timelines and previously presented by our superintendent earlier this week in the Joint Education Committee presentation. It mirrors much of the budget proposed by our executive branch, though it has a wee bit more meat on its bones. I believe it is a budget that can work. It stands on its own. I simply ask and invite your favorable consideration on this amendment. It's not my intent to debate the details of this amendment, but as has been my observation, entrust the decision into your well-thought-out vetting and expertise.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. And I appreciate those good comments from the representative from the southwest part of the state. And I certainly agree with his sentiments that the office needs to be fully and adequately funded for the tasks at hand. I just don't think that Amendment Number 22 is the vehicle to get us there. And I just wanted to share with the body a little bit from, you know, what we heard in JAC. We spent a couple hours speaking with the superintendent's office earlier this week about budget issues, and just wanted to share a little bit of that with you, which kind of accentuates my concerns with Amendment Number 22, and that being that this is really a pretty significant expansion of funding for this office as it is currently proposed. And we have talked about and sort of framed the budgetary discussion around the Office of Superintendent and how it has been funded over the past, because within WDE there is a separate budget, 6102, that funds the superintendent's office and that has existed there to fund those constitutional duties, those general oversight duties, those things that we split out separate from the department. And this is a pretty significant expansion on that funding, and actually even goes over and above what some of the elements that the superintendent presented us with. And just if you look at the numbers, and that's really what I want to talk about is the numbers on page one. We had, so currently within that budget, there's $2.3 million as series as 100 series. The total budget currently for this biennium is $2.6 million, and of course, this budget in front of you is not for an entire biennium. It's only for 16 months. It's only for a portion of the biennium. So when we're comparing these, you got to kind of convert it to apples and apples. So we have really a total budget here of $2.8 million, which is, you know, more than what we have budgeted for an entire biennium for that office currently, $200,000 more for, and we're talking about only 16 months. So that's one of the big concerns. And you look under the current office, like I said, $2.6 million in budget, 12 staff. This budget amendment before you is an expansion of staff as well as budget. And so we've got, and in fact, we had the proposal we looked at earlier this week was Section 100 series, a biennial budget of over $3 million. That actually is less than what's proposed in the budget amendment before you. So this is even greater than what was proposed to us by the superintendent's office earlier this week in that 100 series. Looking down at the 200 series, and 100 series is the salary part. Looking down at the 200 series, that current budget for a biennium is $128,000. Here we're talking just 16 months, and it's grown to $170,000. Look at the 400 series. The entire budget for the biennium is currently $17,000, and now it's grown several times to $62,000. And in fact, if you figure out the months, it's almost eight times what the biennial budget currently has been for that series. And finally, under the 900 series, we've got a biennial budget currently of just under $100,000, and yet for the 16 months, we're being asked to spend $500,000 on the 900 series. And so if you buy, it's almost 10 times the current budget if you spread it out over the time frame. So I would ask for the defeat of this amendment. I like I said, I agree with the sentiments behind it, and we'll look at the next budget amendment that spells out another approach that looks at the 6102 budget, expends it out under what the current duties are, and really draws in line with I think the personnel and the budgets needed for the current duties. So with that, I'd ask for your defeat of Amendment 22.
Representative Piperinen, would you move your amendment, please?
I'm sorry, I'd like to move the amendment.
That's amendment, third reading amendment number 20.
Amendment, House Bill 1.
Third reading amendment number 22, maybe?
Number 22.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. On and for amendment number 22. This is really trying to come up with a way to where this office can really do some good for Wyoming's children, the 90,000 of them. You know, I really don't want that office formed if they're just going to be funded at the minimum level, and they're over there and twiddling their thumbs. I just don't do away with the entire office like we probably should have to start with, if that's the way we're going to go with this. To me, the lower budget number, which is going to come in the next bill, or the next amendment to this that was referred to by the previous speaker, we kind of need to have this budget amendment go to the next amendment, because then you have an option to choose which one you want after you hear the next one. So I would encourage you to pass this one, listen to the debate on the next amendment, which takes it down to a very minimal amount, for 16 months. I don't see how it's really going to really do anything. I just soon shut the office down if we're going to go that way. And see what can happen. You know, we need to give them a little money, go out there, encourage teachers, encourage the kids to perform excellence here in Wyoming. So on and for the amendment. And if you vote yes here, you can still make a decision on the next one, because if you vote yes on that one, it takes this one off. Thank you.
Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Members, all the numbers that the good representative, the Majority Whip, referred to are on, if you get Section 5 of that Volume 1 of your budget book, and it's on page 20, and you can see the superintendent's office. And so, and he's exactly right in the numbers, and the biennial appropriation for this office then is $2.675 million. So that's for a full 24 months, okay? And the governor's proposal came in at like 2.2, and then I think the informal hearing we had was a little over 6. And so, but irregardless of that, I think the idea that we have to decide is really what are the duties and how many folks do you need to perform those duties. We do that with every agency. We're having that discussion about Section 2 a couple amendments ago. We're going to have it about DEQ, I think, later on with a couple positions. So that, keep that in mind. But the way this amendment is written, and if you look on line 11 on page 1, so it has Section 5 of Superintendent Public Instruction, but then you see the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 footnotes. Okay, and that's what I want to talk about for just a minute, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. So members, if you would go to page 3, and I think this is where a lot of the 900 series money comes in, on page 3, and it's footnote number 6 and 7. Footnote number 6 says no funds appropriated from this section for programs or initiatives not expressly authorized by statute. Well, that's going to be in the next amendment. So that, but then you go to amendment number 7 and it says notwithstanding footnote number 6. So get rid of footnote number 6, and then for this part we can now not move, we can join in agreements with school districts to give stipends. The districts can then give stipends to teachers, but the department won't give these $200 900 series. So as I see it, a way to not give the direct money to teachers that's been done in the past through 900 series contracts, but to give it to the districts to give it to the teachers. That's what footnote number 7 does. Now, number 8, I think, is something that I've never seen in a budget where we say two of these employees shall not be available if the chief budget officer in Section 1 and the Section 5 director can get together with some MOU on really about provisions of data management and accounting services. So we don't write budgets like that, so I've never seen that. And then, members, if you turn to page 4, and I think this is probably the most troubling piece of this, and I don't know how this got organized or as I read it this morning like you, but if you'll go, this is dealing with the audit, which says Section 337, which, of course, we know will be a new numbered section if this goes through. But this is the audit, and it's very similar language to the next amendment, except on line 13. The audit begins January 1st, 2013. So the audit begins 6 weeks ago, and it's going to go through this next year. Well, that's not the issue. The issue is to audit and go back and restructure and have a clean slate now as we redevelop a new agency, and it's going to be Agency 206 that's in this, and the following one, and audit 206 and see where, so the new director can come in with a clean slate. And I'll talk about that more in the next amendment, but this date does not work. And I think it's, so you're going to audit this agency from 3 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks ago through the rest of this year. So I think that's a real flaw in this amendment. So, members, I think the next amendment gets at what we'd like to accomplish, and so I urge your defeat of this amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I wish I knew more about the numbers that were presented by the amendment bringer, and then we have the numbers that we just had appropriations. And there's going to be another amendment that I'll talk to and give a little more detail on this. But I just don't think we know enough to take this, what we have had, and strip it down to the number on the next amendment that is going to be brought. I just wish I had enough information, and I had the opposing side standing here saying, you know, the chairman has said this. I wish I had the other side to point out what is being left out in this discussion. I'm very leery of what we have done, and I don't know if the next amendment is the olive branch at all. I think it's more of the, you'll do what we want you to do, and that's the way it is. I wish in our other speaker of the appropriations and the number he's given, I just wish I had more numbers about that. We're asking for $170,000 and you only were getting $160,000. We're asking for $62,000 and you were only getting $17,000. You're asking for $500,000 and you were only getting $100,000. I wish I had more information on that. And my feeling is that I'm more comfortable with this amendment brought by these folks than I am the next amendment brought by the continuation of what has been done. And I'll speak a little more as another amendment comes up. But I'm thinking we ought to pass this. Thank you.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I don't know if we're talking about olive leaves or fig leaves in this discussion, but my question is, if neither the current amendment we're discussing passes, nor another proposed amendment passes, what then? How is this handled then? And I think that's a question that needs to be answered before we take a vote on this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Questions on the 900 series in this bill. The amount is $500,000. Most of that money is to be used for the five regional conferences that are specified. I've planned conferences. I've hired outside speakers. And frankly, you can get a really good outside speaker and put on a conference where you actually feed quite a lot of people for somewhere around $6,000 to $8,000 per conference. So if you took a five and you just take the high end of say eight, that's $40,000. $500,000 to put on five conferences, that's $100,000 a piece. You can rent some awful nice facilities and get some awful big name speakers to come in for days on end at that price. So if you compare them, conferences can be handled and put on for a lot less than $100,000 a conference on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Again, if you defeat this now, you don't get, before you even hear the next proposal, we're not going to have a choice. Either you give the lower amount, which is enough to twiddle their thumbs in their office, or you don't give them anything. And then I'm not for sure what's going to happen then. So I encourage you to go ahead, and if you still have doubts about this, listen to the next debate, the following debate. And then if you vote that up, that takes care of this one. But right now, please vote aye on this. This is an olive branch, and I don't know what you want to call the next one. Maybe it's more of a thorn branch.
Anyone else for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Horsham.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. There was a question about what if everything, I'm sure there's amendments in the other body, but it would be really, we would say, well, we're not going to do anything and leave town. Then our third branch as appropriators, we say to the chief budget officer downstairs, you're going to have to figure it out with a B-11 or something. And that's not really the way we run government. And that's, we generally say these appropriations go to these agencies for these people for these programs. And that's part of why we're here. And that's part of why we're here on this issue, frankly, is because what we've appropriated for these people, for these programs, is not necessarily trued up with our appropriations. And then at the efficiency piece, but I want to get back just real quickly to the numbers, and I think the good representative from the center of the state. And if you turn to page 20 on your budget book on section 5, you can get an exact comparison by series line. And you can look at 100 series, what was in the budget with more employees was 2.4 for our biennium. It's now 2.1. You can go down to 200 series, which is office supplies, phone lines, those kind of things. It was 128 for a biennium. Of course, we're into the biennium 7 months now. 128, it's now gone to 170 in this amendment. You go to professional services, this 900 series. Before, it was $99,000 for the biennium. This amendment wants to increase it by five times to $500,000. And so I think I think that's our judgment. We say these are your duties. These are the dollars and people to accomplish those duties. So, and then I guess members, and there was some reference to the amendment that's going to come about a thorn and a minimal. I guess I will debate that in a minute, but I disagree with those statements. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I again draw your attention to this audit that is not functional. I think this amendment has several flaws that'll keep it from going forward. So urge your no vote. Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Anyone else for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Piperinen.
Well, I appreciate the discussion. And again, I'd appeal to you brothers and sisters that we can end this chapter in Wyoming history by supporting this amendment. I don't understand the need for such micromanagement in the weeds of this elected official. Regarding the 500,000, 900 series, it was my understanding it's not just for these five conferences, but that there were going to be pre- and post-sessions also. It's not, professional development is not just an event, it's an ongoing thing, and I think the superintendent understands that. Again, I'd appeal to you to support this amendment and call for the question.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 22 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 22 to House Bill 1 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 29 to House Bill 1. Chairman Horsham.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I would move third reading amendment number 29 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members, again, this amendment previous one, the way it's drafted, and I appreciate the way it's drafted because it's just like any other budget, and you can see this. So if the first part I want to draw your attention to is on line 6 on page 1. So it reads, after 5, insert by creating a new section 5 and renumbering 005 as 206. So that in effect says we take the Department of Ed, which was 05, the Department of Ed is now 206. And it's right next to school foundation program accounts 205. So, and now, and then it moves back, this 05 is now the superintendent's office. So that's the first part of the amendment. The money piece, I can walk you through this, and we had good debate, I think, but I would just want to look at the 100 series. What this does is provide for the superintendent's salary. 100 series is salary and benefits. So this provides for the superintendent's salary, which we set statutorily, and that salary, I think, is $92,000 with benefits. It's $140,000 per year. So that will not change. That goes in one. And we also included a top deputy, just like the elected official we just debated in Section 2 has, a top deputy. And I think currently that is at $110,000 currently being paid with benefits at $143,000. And then 5 more positions. And those 5 positions currently with salary and benefits, $100,000, $144,000, $108,000, $136,000, and $138,000 in salary and benefits, will all move. And so, and I'll talk about the footnotes in a minute, but that all is all included in the 100 series. And then the 200 series, we move the exact full amount that's remaining in the superintendent's office currently, and that's unit 6102. We have moved that exact amount that is left in there. 200 series is the exact amount. I just want to double check and make sure that is correct. And then the 400 series is the exact amount we have moved over, the exact same amount. And then also in the 900 series, what these are generally used for by our agencies are for contracts for outside professional help to the agency. And we put $50,000 in there for that. And then on line 24 and 23, you can see Teacher of the Year program. It's a 600 series, and the amount is $66,576. That's an S5 fund from School Foundation. That's the exact amount in that account. We moved it over. Over to page number 2, members. These are the footnotes that we previously talked about. There are 5 footnotes on this amendment. The first one, 1, has 2 paragraphs. Paragraph 1 talks about the transfer then of all state, federal, and other fund appropriations to this new Department of Education, 206. Okay? And we stated that in Senate File 104. That's stated. This budget amendment reflects that. Number 2, it talks about that we require reporting. We allow the governor to be 11 and move funds as we currently do, but we require him to report on that, and we keep all footnotes that are intact from the previous law that we passed last year. The second footnote on line 30 just really states that this budget amount ends at the biennium. This is the remainder of the biennial budget. Okay, and then number 3 I think is important for the staffing. The superintendent then shall provide a staffing plan, and this is on line 36, and I'm reading to line 37 on page 2. Provide a staffing plan to the Division of Human Resources within the Department of A&I. All of our agencies do this. This is how we run government. And no later than March 22nd, and this all lines up with pay periods, the division shall classify all positions and salaries not set in statute within Agency 5. So, and we've done this through the Hay study. Because we used to run state government, the Department of Agriculture might have a deputy director making $250,000, I'm just using an example, and another deputy director with similar responsibilities to supervise the same number of people and budgets
might make half that. And so we, over the last half dozen years, we've brought all this in into a hay study to really find out what people's job descriptions are across state government and compensate people accordingly. So the division will classify these positions. Obviously, they can't classify because we set the salary for the superintendent by statute, so that one will not be classified, and that says that on line 40. And then they will have that finished by April 30th. And then so the superintendent's staffing plan will be implemented on June 1st. So some of these salaries, and I'd mentioned some of them, salary and benefits of 138, 41, 43, 136. I don't know how those will all be classified. But what we are budgeting, we are saying in a generous amount that we're, like all agencies, you have the director, you have the deputy director, which is a pretty high paid position, and then you have a bunch of like fiscal and HR and data and all those folks, and those are all classified the same across state government. And so the superintendent will tell A&I, this is how I want this classified. They will work the numbers and get back. But in the meantime, these folks who are making pretty significant salaries will stay on their salaries for the next 3 months. And then once reclassified, they will go to those classifications. Now, we've put enough money in the budget, we think is plenty in this budget, because it's 100% of the state worker who has a bachelor's degree plus another 25%. So that's like $72,000 salary with benefits. It's right in the 90-some thousand range of salary and benefits. So I think there's plenty of money in there, but there's other provisions in here as we move on. So that's the one I know folks would be interested in, the 100 series. Okay, amendment number 4 starts on the bottom of page 2, and it flips over, and this was in both amendments. No funds appropriated within Section 5, Office of Superintendent, shall be expended for programs, initiatives, or other activities not expressly authorized by law. We do this all the time in our agencies. We don't block grant agencies. We tell them the programs and their duties and responsibilities. And number 5, this is what I call a truing effect or cleanup. When we go home, and if we find out in June or July we were over or under, the governor then, of course, can transfer. And so that's the ability of the governor to use B-11s and transfer back money from Agency 206 to 005 or vice versa. So that gives that ability there. There is no new money in this provision then. On line 10, that's what it basically talks about, 005 and 206. And you can see the general fund, it says decrease. That will be to 206 because it will be transferred. And then other funds decrease to 206 is the teacher of the year, the 66,000 and S5 funds, because those will be transferred. We decrease the position count in 206 by 7 because those will be in the new 005. Okay, members, and on line 21 starts the baseline audit. Now, we did the same thing with school facilities 3 or 4 years ago, and there are companies that come in with expertise that audit, first of all, money and people, but as important as that is also process. And you try to make your, and we talked about studies and all that, but this is an audit function. So A tells out the dollar amount for the audit. When will it be? It will be finished by July 1st of 2014. It'll be finished, be in time for budget planning for the next biennium. So we'll get it finished by next fall. Now, on line 35, Romanette 1, so these are the things that will be audited. Existing authorized positions. So we want to make sure that all the people are actually aligned to the budget, are actually aligned to the Wolf system in state government, our accounting system, our Wyoming online financial system. And that's how we do it in every agency. And so we got to unwind some of this because some of these positions are funded through multiple units. And it'll take time to bring that back, but we'll get this back in the department like we do every other agency. They're funded under these units. And on line 39, members, Romanette 2, the programs, I could say ditto for that as well. Make sure the programs are in the correct units and are lined up with the Wolf's accounting system. And we do that, again, in every department, every agency. Flipping to the last page, members on Romanette 3. And then there's going to be, I've mentioned this kind of unwinding of transfers, additions, and changes to budget amounts, because we give directors of agencies quite a little latitude. They can move 5% in between their unit, their divisions of their agency. And so that's a significant amount of money in many cases. And so we want to make sure that everything is, you know, because the vast majority of this budget in this 206 is federal funds. And we want to make sure that everything is compliant, that we don't lose and get penalized by feds, because these flow through generally for special education to our local, our 48 school districts. And then finally, in accounting on Romanette 4, the B11 processes that were used, and also what we learned of a new process called the general expense modification, the GEM process. There were 700 used in this department. So the bottom line of this audit, we did a similar thing with school facilities. When the new director comes on, we have now a clean slate. So the new director begins with his own warts, his or her warts, and not anything from the past. And so we want to get this trued out, baselined out, and have a fresh start as we move forward. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for any questions. Thank you.
Anyone else for your first time? Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Boy, a lot of things I'm thinking. First thing I wrote down is I'm looking for a balance between what we're trying to the Department of Education and the folks that are trying to manage that and say, here's what's got to happen. Was there people that had some concern for the way it was compared to the way it is, or is the way it is going to be? And one of the things that I said on the last amendment was, I wish I had somebody standing here that could kind of present the opposite view. We're getting the view of the folks that really wanted to get Senate File 104 done. And I'm saying, was there a balance, or did we have this view and this is the way we're going to do it? And then my next question would be, I wrote down, is this budget going to be as fair for this new agency that we're creating? Is the scrutiny and the cutting, the good chairman just said we have a fistful of people that these agencies have. Well, we just went from a fistful of 15 to a fistful of 7, and that seems to be plain adequate in this body who's making all these rules decision. One of the things on page 3, he said, well, my goodness, if we come back and find that this isn't really working, the office downstairs, the governor's office, can either transfer more in to help it out, or, you know, it can be adjusted. The feeling toward this agency is not going to be very friendly to saying, well, you're just not quite getting, let's add a little more in here. So I would hope that's to be, and the good chairman just said that's the way it'll be. So, you know, there's some real give and take. Well, this budget, I see a lot of take. I don't see a lot of give. And so I just feel bad again, and I'll say more later. So I honestly don't know whether we ought to vote for this budget or defeat it and just let the guy downstairs take care of things. Thanks for listening.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Take Senate File 104 and put it out of your mind. What I want you to do is take a look at the new position of the state superintendent. Take a look at what those duties are that she has and what it takes to fulfill the duties that she has. And that's the approach that we took with this amendment. So you go through and you say, these are the programs you have. How many FTEs do you need to do what you need to do? And actually, from my perspective, if I treat this budget the same way I treat all other budgets in state government, this is generous. I believe that the duties and responsibilities that are required of the superintendent could be done with less than this appropriation and less than these FTEs. And so I think it's fair to suggest that we somehow should curry favor because people feel bad and we should somehow give more than what it takes or what is required is a disservice to your constituents in that you are elected to come here and appropriate the money to provide for the services that are required by the elected official that you have. If someone can come to me or any of us or to this body and suggest that this is inadequate, show me how it's inadequate. Don't just tell me that you feel bad.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question in regard for the good chairman of appropriations regarding a footnote 2. The way I read it is that we're basically going to start with a zero base budget the next time we consider the budget when we come back here a year from now. Am I incorrect in that? I want to be corrected. But the way I understand it is this is only for the rest of this year, and then where do we base, what base budget do we have? And my concern is because the audit allowed on the next page is only for the Department of Education, there is not an audit for the Office of Superintendent. So therefore, how do we know what we did this year is appropriate or not if we don't have some way of examining this? Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question's on page 4 for the good chairman of appropriations here. And it's on line 5. I think he made reference to a newly implemented system you're using called the General Expenditure Modification Process. I'm just kind of wondering about that. Is that something we're using in all agencies or just something we're using in this agency? Something I'm not familiar with, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. Explanation on that.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to speak to a couple issues on the numbers, one thing to remember is we had initially gone through the same 8% cut in the superintendent's office as every other agency had faced in the state. And so, but rather than recognizing that this is a new, I mean, this is a newly forming sort of new creation, we wanted to make sure that we didn't start them off 8% in the hole. So we added that 8% back. We did not take that out. The other thing to remember just in looking at this, the line 24, the 66,000 for the teacher-to-teacher program, that was added into this as well. So you won't find, if you're looking in your budget book, you won't find this in there. We added that provision as well. The question about going forward, and you know, we're going to be finding our way a little bit going forward, but we fully expect that when we come back and look at budgets in January of this next year, we're going to need to sit down and have a long discussion with the superintendent on where we are. Does she have enough resources? Do we need to add in some? So that's going to be an ongoing discussion. That, you know, at least personally, I see this sort of as we did with ETS. ETS going through this next budget cycle as a new agency is going zero-based budget. They have to come in, and we're going to talk from the beginning and see, you know, what makes sense and what doesn't. So I fully expect that process to happen with this agency as well, just to make sure we're lined up, resources and duties.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On page 3 in section 337, we're calling for a baseline audit, and I just think we need to have a little more discussion as to what was the thought process that we went through, not for just the audit, but the assignment of the audit to the governor's office. Is the governor becoming kind of a victim in running an audit, or is that the only place that we could go? I just like a little more explanation and substantiation of the use of the governor's office in programming this. He seems to be catching quite a bit of fault for everything that is going on, and perhaps a little support as to how we arrived at that would be helpful.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I will take a crack at the question about the audit. I think even the current administration with the superintendent knew that there were issues with alignments of positions, and that's why we had that whole B11 conversation about the 21 positions last fall. It spilled off into this year. As administrations have come and gone, there have been positions that have been tied to different sections, and so we have this kind of a pile of spaghetti, and we need to realign the whole agency, and that's what the audit does. I would say that we put that responsibility in the governor's office because he is the chief executive officer of the state, and ultimately he will be the one that appoints the new director. He will use the Department of Audit to do that, or outside contracts, but ultimately we wanted to give him the flexibility to move forward on that process. I hope that answers your question.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just I wrote down a couple questions. I think it was a question of, well, we put language in for the governor to fix it if it's not really working. And I would submit that we do that in all of our budgets through the B11 process. For example, last year fires, we didn't have enough money in the fire suppression account. So the governor has authority to go into other accounts, and that's what he did when we were gone. And it would be no different for any other agency. If they run short or there's an unexpected need, that he can transfer in money from other agencies. We give him that authority to do 5% between agencies. And he was able to do that to cover about a $13 million shortfall in fires last year. So that is part of what we do as appropriators, give him a little bit of flex. There was a question from the good representative from Campbell about the footnote number 2, and it says it's just for this, the remainder of this biennium, is it zero-based? And the answer is no, it is not zero-based, and it will actually come back in a biennialized form. So this number you see here will grow to a biennial number, and as all agency heads come before JAC, can ask for supplemental increases to the standard budget. So that's how that works. So it is it will be biennialized automatically when it comes back in the next round of budgets, when we meet here next year for the 15-16 biennium. And then there was a question about the GEM process, which is on line 8 on the last page, page 4. And other agencies do use the general expense modification. The unique thing here is that there were 640 some of them used in 100 series, which are personnel, which is represented to us as being rather unique. And so we want to make sure we get a baseline audit of that and know exactly what happened, because those aren't there's another process out there. I don't want to get too deep in the woods that we track through the budget office. This one is not as easily tracked, and we want to make sure we understand what happened there. And then I think the last speaker asked about the audit. I think Chairman of Education addressed that, and I would just say that I think there's actually two audits proposed in our budget. This is a baseline audit. And it's people, programs, the functions, and then it'll come back with suggestions. In fact, we're still implementing it in school facilities. How do you make the thing run better? You should have this flow chart and flow in this way, and this is the decision maker for this. These are all suggestions, and large corporations do that, and so do our large agencies of government do that to make them run more efficiently. So it's that baseline audit. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd ask for everybody's support and their aye vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 29 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Pursuant to Rule 11.3, having passed an oral vote, the Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay excused. Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Semlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 50 aye, 9 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 29 to House Bill 1 has passed. Representative Crone.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Certainly.
Thank you. Two privileges, please. First of all, if I could have members of the House welcome one of my constituents from Park County, Wyoming. Two number ones on our license plates and two number ones in your heart. My friend and the chair of the Park County Republican Party, Jerry Hochhalter. So welcome to the House, Jerry.
Welcome to the House.
And secondly, Mr. Speaker, you were all handed an invitation to lunch today from the Wyoming Arts Alliance, and that will be in the Hirschler Building. So enjoy a lunch, and there will be some Cody folks there as well. So thank you.
Representative Teeters.
Are we doing committee announcements?
If you would like.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, will meet immediately upon noon recess for consideration of Senate File 55 and Senate File 144.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet on Monday at noon in room H8 to take up Senate File 9, Private Transfer Fees, Senate File 115, Protective Services Investigation, Senate File 146, Termination of Parental Rights.
Vice Chairman Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet 10 minutes upon noon recess in room H17 to discuss Senate File 83, Medicaid Fraud Recovery.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife and Cultural Resources, will meet Monday morning at 8:30. And we only have one bill left. It's Senate File 162, Authorized Taking of an Eagle.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will not meet on Monday morning.
Anyone else for committee announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House recess until 1:30 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All in favor of recessing? Oh, Chairman Harvey? You've heard the motion. All in favor of recessing until 1:30 p.m., please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House will be in recess until 1:30 p.m.